The Miss Project was born out of necessity, in a sense, because I have a biological need to cook, and I also have this biological need to travel.
Chef Gavin Baker may have been born and raised in North Carolina, the home of barbecue and spare ribs, but his curiosity about the rest of the world and its cuisines has seen him do things like walk for 4 months from London to Scotland in the dead of winter, end up penniless as a cook in an illegal spearfishing yoga commune off the coast of Thailand. And now Gavin is playing with other flavours and maybe a bit more money in his new restaurant in Australia, having also worked alongside people like Heston Blumenthal in his now famous restaurant, The Fat Duck. Intertwined with all that is what Gavin calls the Mist Project. It's a pop-up guerrilla-style restaurant where Gavin even goes so far as to make the plates for the meals with secret compartments built in. And it all began in the state of Utah.
Something was happening, and that happening was, you know, when I made the plates, I wanted it to be this sort of cohesive cycle. So I used local artists and gave the local artist some autonomy in how the final plates would look. There's a photographer by the name of Adam Finkel and his wife Leanne, they work for Echo Box out of Salt Lake, who has a wonderful series called Slice, where he's taken these fruits and sliced them razor thin and lit them from underneath. And they're beautiful, and all the detail and things in it. So he did 120 different versions of, say, four different fruits, and he had them on these giant panels. So I wanted a way to connect that, what he was doing, with what we were doing. So one of the dishes was an edible photograph where I took all four of his fruits and I used edible ink and edible paper and I printed them on these, you know, tiny, like 1-inch by 1-inch photographs. Let's say it was like lemon and orange and grapefruit and those things, which I then adhered to a white chocolate palette. And then I put the oil, say grapefruit oil, inside there. So when you ate it, it tasted like what the photograph looked like. But then, you know, we also had these graham cracker frames, and I had these little miniature easels made. And, you know, it came with like a lychee and rose and mangosteen cocktail that you took a dry ice tablet that had our logo stamped in it, and you dropped it in and carbonated and chilled your beverage at the same time. And you could eat this photograph that looked like what it tasted like, but it matched the art on the wall. And that's what Mist was. Everybody wanted Mist to go on. I wanted Mist to go on. We were going to continue, but it needed a higher purpose. Otherwise, it was very self-serving to just show up somewhere and open a restaurant and go, oh, look what I can do, and these things. And it wasn't about that. It was never really about that. It was just this need to cook at the highest level possible. I wanted to take things that I had learned from the Fat Duck and see where my food was at that point.
But also to celebrate the surrounding local art and science and
Absolutely.
Culture and magic.
Food. And food.
And food, yeah.
And that was where it all sort of took off into this. You know, we were communicating with elders in the community and getting old recipes. And in Utah, some of the recipes they were throwing our way were pretty rough.
When you say elders, you're talking about Mormon elders, are you?
There's a lot of Mormons in Utah, for sure. But older members of the community, people in certain, you know, cultural areas that had information. And I extended that into much bigger scale, and I said, well, we need to go deeper. So we went to Indonesia for 3 months. We sailed around on this, you know, this wooden, stunning yacht called the Silalona, and a tremendous woman named Patty Seary, who spent the last, you know, 2 decades there interacting with locals, and she's made it her life goal to keep tradition alive. So we connected with her and were there for 3 months learning about the tradition of food. You know, fire from the olden days was how communities developed. Mm. You know, you have a fire, that's where you are, that's where you meet, and you've got people whose jobs evolve around the fire. Some stay and some cook, some go away and come back, and it divides up into subsets which go into communities, but everything sort of happens around that. In Indonesia, we went quite deep. I mean, I spent some time 7 hours off the coast of Papua New Guinea in Raja Ampat, and sort of the most biodiverse area of marine life on planet Earth, working specifically with fish. We spent some time, you know, in and around Komodo and all through Bali, and a lot of it was centered on tradition. So I went through several ceremonies that all related to food, but food wasn't the focus, it was part of it. Cleansing ceremonies where food was prepared in a special way. Temple ceremonies that I was fortunate enough to be able to cook at. And all this is documented in this documentary that was made about the Mist Project, which is to be released. In Indonesia, there's no refrigeration in a lot of these places that we were in. So if you wanted an animal and you needed to cook it, you had to kill it and then cook it. It's not like you could do anything else with it. Babi guling is the traditional Balinese roast pork. And we spent some time at a place called Ibu Oka, which is where babi guling has reached its culinary height. And it's just a stunning operation in a sense that I can barely describe. Four stories down at 4 in the morning, we're down there and we're killing pigs. And it's a very spiritual thing. It's very quiet and very reverent. And, you know, we're killing these pigs. I've never seen anything like it, Michael. I mean, it was really, we talk about, you know, all these chefs want to be sustainable and farm to table and this, that, and the other. But this is the way of life for most everybody else on the planet. We're taking a live hog, killing this animal by, you know, cutting its jugular, collecting the blood, and then once all the life has left the animal, pouring boiling water over the skin, removing the hair, eviscerating it, taking out the organs and separating them one side. You've got the blood you've already collected, and then taking out the intestines and immediately washing and cleaning them out straight away, and then grinding the organs with the blood and a prepared spice mixture, and then making this blood sausage out of an animal that's about an hour and a half old and winding it around bamboo. So that once you've trussed the hog, you know, the pig, and it's on the spit roasting, which takes 5 hours of continual hand turning where these men sit and turn and do not move. And they're roasting it over coffee wood. And they've got these long sticks with needles that they can very delicately poke around the animal in case it blisters up too much so they can release the juices. And as they're spinning the pig, it's rolling in its own fat because the fat will run out and it'll sort of roll around it, and it gets that deep mahogany. And right beside it, you've got that long bamboo pole with the blood sausage wrapped around it. You know, that whole cycle of everything fitting in there. Jobs are segregated. Men typically cut up the meat, and women are typically dealing with the spices. They're often one side. My wife is there, and Patty's there, and they're making the spice mixture. You know, some turmeric, some galangal, some ginger, some garlic, and, you know, some cassava leaves, and just different, and some salts and different things going on. And they're making that spice, and they're singing. And, you know, the men and I are taking this boar and we're cutting it up on two gigantic banana leaves. And someone runs up a tree and gets some palm wine because the water collects in the frond of the palm and mixes with the sugar and ferments on the tree. So they just run up and tap a little hole in it and pour it right into the bamboo and bring it down. And we're drinking this wine and cutting up this pig, bone and all, and skin, and the women are going, and then the cassava leaves come from out of the blue, and somebody else has gone, and they've got a young banana tree, and they've cut the banana tree down, and they've taken out the heart of it, and they've chopped the heart up, and it's like palm heart. It's this thing that gets mixed in with it, you know, and then you take the meat and the spices and some of this bamboo heart and some of the leaves, and you mix it all together, and everybody's singing, and then you take long sections of green bamboo and pack it all down in there, and then take a handful of cassava leaves and stick it on the top and enclose that space, and you have a long fire in a trench with a bar across it, and you just lean these bamboo pieces up against it, and then someone just sits there and turns them, and because the bamboo's green, it doesn't burn, and then 2-3 hours later, you've got this pork mixed with these spices, and then spreading out a clearing, and then all that food comes to the middle and then eating. What we do is the Mist Project is take that and figure out how to make that into Michelin caliber food. And I take some of these villagers and some of my staff who traveled with me from the States, and then we look at it through, you know, the eyes of 2-3 hat food. How can we take this and convert it into something modern that would stand up in one of these restaurants? When we have that information, we then open Mist, which is the guerrilla version, based on this food, using the villagers to help in this process. Mist Bali, which was after Mist Salt Lake, but Mist Bali was on this boat in the harbor with lights going and Chinese lanterns. And
did you complete the cycle and feed those locals some of the three hat food you were making?
Yeah, absolutely.
And reaction?
They didn't want anything to do with it.
Were you arriving at flavors that were at least akin to what you'd experienced in those jungles?
Yes. I say yes loosely because there's a soul that you can't recreate in a test kitchen. It's extremely important to hold on to the soul of the food and to transfer that information from one generation to the next. I mean, this craft that we get to participate in that's, you know, as old as mankind, it's, you know, right up there with reproduction and inhaling and exhaling is eating. So, you know, it's quite old, and we get to do that. There is rumors that mist will surface in Australia at some point, and when that happens, that will also be deeply connected to space. But for the meantime, we're getting busy, I believe, as you say, in the hood.
Chef Gavin Baker. And while we wait for the release of this documentary on the MIST project, professional photographer Matthew Oldfield, who was along for the ride in Bali, has allowed us to use some of his stunning images on our website. It's really worth a look. Just type RN First Bite into your search engine.